Receiving this message. We are Ken Jennings and John Roderick. We speak to you from our present, which we can only assume is your distant past, the turbulent time that was the early 21st century.
Fearing the great cataclysm that will surely befall our civilization, we began this monumental reference of strange and obscure human knowledge. These recordings represent our attempt to compile and preserve wonders and esoterica that would otherwise be lost.
So whether you're listening from an advanced civilization or have just reinvented the technology to decrypt our transmissions, this is our legacy to you.
This is our time capsule. This is the Omnibus.
You have accessed entry 710.LK0160, certificate number 26934, legal baby names.
Now, I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
Not all baby names are legal.
What?
Some are barely legal.
What?
Some are illegal depending on the jurisdiction.
What if I wanted to name my baby F-Boy Island?
It has probably been tried in New Zealand or Australia. Those always have the weirdest challenges. And has probably been struck down by some bewigged magistrate. Do you want to name a child F-Boy Island?
No, I'm unlikely to have another child. But if I were to have another, if I were to be, is there pull any a Tony Randall.
Is there any chance you're going to find out you have a child somewhere? I guess in that case, he or she would have a name, and it would be too late for F-Boy Island.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a zero chance. But let's say I do meet a younger person
who wants a family,
who's like, I love you, you're amazing.
Even though you're 70, John,
I want a family, and I would go, you know what? I also still am young. I'll be a father, and then.
Will you be doing a voice?
No, this will just be my normal voice.
You'll just
voice.
Talk like that all the time.
I'm just,
it's going to be a big adjustment for your listeners.
Roderick on the line. No, it'll happen gradually. I already have a little bit of a phlegmy voice. I'm going to keep this resonant, deep resonant voice until my dying day.
Like,
probably because I'll die at 70.
Like Don Pardo. Musical guest, Long Winters.
It's possible, but by then, who knows what the new normal will be? I meet kids all the time at my daughter's school where their name is just like, come on, that's not a name.
What is the trend now?
Well, it's just all kinds of, I mean, it's actually a bunch of cool names like Tilden and
it's surnames as first names, a lot of that.
Yeah, you know, Frisian. And,
but can you imagine Cheeto. If there had been a kid named Tilden in your high school? It's easy to say now, oh, that's actually kind of objectively cool.
Yeah.
But in high school, we would have mercilessly
we've been like, what is that,
Tilden.
A kind of cheese?
Tilden.
Tilden. Although it's a good, because it's gender neutral also. What is a Tilden? It could be anything.
That's certainly, there's certainly more gender overlap. More names work for either gender or indeed none at all.
Yeah. Cobra,
rise of non-binary.
Smursh.
Do you think Cobra and Smursh are not gendered?
Yeah, I think you could be a Cobra of either sex or a Smursh of either sex.
Yeah.
What about a Shmoo?
Can confirm. Would Smursh?
Does a Shmoo have a gender?
Shmoos are. Shmoo. I've seen every inch of the Shmoo, and there does not appear to be any genitalia, even secondaries. No, it doesn't have little whiskers.
Well, it does have whiskers, but
so
that's not gender determinant anymore.
Boy? Not in cats.
Nope, that's right.
I like how you're saying anymore, like you're a grumpy old person on Fox News about how now all the girls have cat whiskers in my day.
A lot of them do. There's a little girl at my daughter's school that wears an animal tail every day, and she's very my daughter is like, is she a furry? And I'm like, look, I'm not going to talk about whether a seventh grader is a furry or not.
Do you know what kind of tail? Like, is it a big flat platypus tail?
It's not a platypus tail. It's a white furry tail, so I think it's a cat. But I don't know.
You've told the story before on Omnibus of naming your child, but did you have, that aside, did you have a general philosophy of baby names? Like, what
what makes for a good baby name versus
not
so good?
You know, I'm Gen X, as maybe our listeners are not aware.
We were just all named Scott. Well, we were all named Scott and Jennifer,
no,
and that was
you
fine.
You were named, your generation was named Scott because you were born in the 70s. I was born in the 60s, and everyone was named John. John, Peter, Jeff, Jeffrey, and then all
those
the
are
girls.
All biblical except for Jeff and Jeffrey. Yeah. Jesus did not have two disciples named Jeff and Jeffrey who were always the goofy ones who were bonking each other on the head. Jesus said, get the other bread. No, he likes this bread.
But all the girls were named Jennifer except for the ones that were named Laura.
There were still Julies in your era.
And Julies.
The there funny thing is, I still think of these as normal names. So on some part of my head, I'm like, if I went into a classroom today, it would be full of Julies, Lindas, and Erics.
Yeah.
And no.
And Johns and Peters.
There would absolutely
and
be no
Jeffs.
Julies, Lindas, and Erics. There's been a lot of scholarly work on name turnover, and we now know certain phenomena that are said to be pretty consistent across the modern America. Girl names are more prone to faddishness, whereas boy names tend to persist longer.
Yeah. Jaden and Caden and Braden, though, are all new. I didn't know any of the... Well, there was no Jaden, but even a Braden... I mean, I knew...
I haven't thought that if Scooby-Doo took role in my kids' class, it would all be... Raiden? Raiden? Raiden?
I mean, I knew Braden. Brad's, Braden. But Brad is no Braiden. Let me tell you that. Or Braden is no Brad.
I knew Brad.
And you, sir.
I played hacky with Brad, and you, sir.
But yeah, I mean, naming my daughter, it never occurred to us to just name her Susan or Jennifer or Mary. We wanted a newer name, but we also did not want to go all the way to a name we made up entirely.
Well, that's good, because that is the modern impulse that I should be able to show some... I mean, I'm going to just put all my cards on the table. I think it's actually like a pretty terrible kind of narcissism to think I must put my distinct stamp on my child's name. Their name must be a mark of my personality, because you're not going to have to live with that consequence in the way that they will, you know?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I did do that.
I did too.
Yeah. You did too?
Yeah, all young parents do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was your kooky thing?
It's not that kooky, but like... I named a kid after a musician I liked. My brother did too. My brother has a kid named after Elliot Smith. I have a kid named after, could be Dylan McKay from 90210. It was probably Bob Dylan.
Right. And in my case, I've told this story, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, her mother wanted to name her Imogen, and I was like, I'm not a goth. I'm not, but you know, she's younger than I am. So she's like, Imogen is a name that conveys all this sophistication. And I was like, Imogen is a name for a little witch. Like, no.
A little witch from like Gold Key comics or something. Yeah.
But then some nurse had said to us once, like, oh, well, your baby's about the size of an eggplant. And I was like, an eggplant? And so we started calling her Aubergine. And then I just couldn't get away from it. I was like, Aubergine is the greatest girl's name in the world.
It can be Aubrey or Jean.
Yeah, Aubrey, Jean,
it's got,
Aubergine.
It's got it all.
And of course, her mother was like, it's a J. Crew color, and it's also an eggplant. We're not naming her eggplant. And I was like, oh, man.
She dodged a bullet.
She did.
A couple. She dodged one bullet from her mom and one bullet from you. I mean, a vegetable bullet from you.
And I'm sure there are people listening who are like, my kid's named Imogen. But no one is saying my kid's named Aubergine.
But it's very difficult, the calculus you do. Even if you're 100% on board with my philosophy that you should just be trying to make that child's life as smooth as possible with a name that somehow, even though you don't know them, sums up their personality and, you know, whatever their status or station will be.
When they're 8 hours old.
Exactly. You can't do it, and you don't know what the world they're going to grow up in. You know, you can give, like, I'm just going to give my kid a normal name and call it Steve.
Yeah.
And then Steve is the only Steve in a world... of Braden's and Tillamook's.
Or there's a television character named Steve who's a total ass.
Right.
And everybody's like, oh, Steve.
Or you name your kid what you think is the old-timey name. I thought a great idea for our second kid would be Ava, thinking it's old Hollywood, it's classic, only to find, when I looked it up, that it had suddenly become the fifth most popular baby name in America because, I don't know, Reese Witherspoon or somebody had a baby named Ava. And now, instead of being slightly ahead of the curve and therefore feeling cool, I was slightly behind it and a dope.
I had a couple of friends a decade, no, 15 years ago, who had daughters, and they they all said that, and it's weird because it happened within weeks of each other. They said, Madeline. We're going to name her Madeline because Madeline is like a classic, a beautiful name from ye olde times.
Cellar door.
And so I have like three friends with daughters named Madeline.
It gets
and
in the
two
water.
Named Eleanor. And I'm like...
Something gets in the water and they all think they're being distinctive, but just, you know, just distinctive enough.
Yeah. Madeline and Eleanor. So now they're in a class and there's like two other Madelines. And
you can't see the vector. You know, you can't see the person who gave you the idea of Madeline. Just there was something, the time was right in the culture.
Yeah. I heard those names and was like, oh, that's a beautiful name. But the second or third one I heard, I was like, oh, wait a minute, hold on. But, you know, I named my daughter, and then like 6 weeks later, I was talking to Will Wheaton, and he was like, oh, yeah, I've got a new pit bull. And I named her, and then my daughter's name. And I was like, Will, you knew I named my daughter that.
He did on purpose.
And he
classic
said, oh.
Classic Wesley move.
But ours, our dog has an E at the end. I was like, okay.
I'm glad you had enough self-awareness not to be like, the best name will be the most unique for my special little family. And therefore, because there are people who are literally, you know, Googling names that don't exist in hopes of having baby number one named Stalactite or whatever.
Yeah.
And...
Or Stat. Hey, what's up, Stat? That's a pretty butch name.
You like Stat all of a sudden?
Hey, Stat.
It's not too late.
It's too late. Unless there's anyone listening who is,
who wants to be named by their favorite podcast.
Who's in their mid-30s and is like,
if you don't
I
like
love
your
you.
Name, if you don't like your name, let us, a podcast you listen to perhaps once a week, rename you. You must commit to it.
Oh, that's right.
We promise never to dead name you by the previous one.
You are, you're, you know, a member of the straight world.
I am extremely a member of the straight world.
You have seen people change their names in adulthood, surely.
Well, I think we're seeing the first generation. This is kind of an untested thing. What's America going to look like when basically everybody had the option of re-choosing their name at around 11 to 14, the time in your life when you make all the best decisions? Mm-hmm. Because my kids' classes are full of, you know, it's the queer kids, it's the trans kids, it's the non-binary kids, or it's the kids who are terrified of seeming less cool than the queer, trans, or non-binary kids.
Yes.
Who no longer want to be named Eric when everybody else is named Milkweed or Toadstool.
Yeah. My sister, Susan, I'm just going to call her out, Susan.
Normie.
In high school, changed the spelling of her name to S-U-Z-E-N, Sue-Zen.
Oh, that's so her.
And for not an insignificant number of years, she was Sue-Zen. And so I've never stopped calling her that.
I think American listeners, assuming America exists in your time, are not aware of the degree to which this idea that your naming of your child is primarily an act of self-expression on your part as a parent, that's kind of just our thing.
You know why? It's our culture of individuality.
Have you heard of something called the frontier?
Yeah, well, and I think it's, and I don't know if you've seen this in your fellow parents, although not your co-parents. There's only one of those. But...
Everybody's a co-parent these days. That's what I've learned online.
But I think I've seen a lot of my cohort really be invested in making sure their kid is cool, right? Like has good musical taste, watched the cool movies, you know.
Which is ironic because we were only cool because our parents were not trying to imprint boomer culture on us.
Yeah, my dad couldn't have cared less whether I was cool. And my mom really didn't care.
And can you imagine like... just, you know, being super into the Ramones because your parents had it on the car on the way to T-ball?
Well, and that's what's happening. Like, I have several friends who had playlists for their kid when they were 3, 4, 5 years old that was like, you're going to love Thin Lizzy.
My kid has a Sub Pop onesie.
Yeah, exactly.
And listens to Squeeze.
So I think that is a big, it's not just their individuality. It's like, not only am I not normie, but my kid's going to be happier if they're not normie.
I don't think it comes from the fear of being an uncool kid like I was. Like, I don't think it's a parent who's like, I was never cool. I'm going to make sure my kid knows what's cool. I really think it does come from a good place of passion. Like,
yeah.
My fandom is what defines my generation, and exactly. I want to make sure that is passed down.
And I think that's what it is. Like, Like, I spent so long struggling to find a home, which ended up being the Marvel Comics universe that I share with 600 million other people. But that, you know, it took me so many years of struggle before Wolverine came into my life.
Or whatever it is.
And I want to save my kid from all that confusion and just introduce them to Cheap Trick. And then they're never going to have
They'll
to.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll never not know about it.
It's the equivalent of what two or three generations ago parents would have done with religion.
Oh, yeah.
Their life is just going to be fine as long as they have Jesus. Except now it's like their life will be fine as long as they have the Smiths.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you, your life is not fine if you have the Smiths.
Honestly, it probably cuts the other way.
It's the other way.
But this American idea that you express your, that you name your kid something to express something about, you know, your individual spark.
So this isn't in Russia too?
Not universal.
In China? Well, in China, there's only four names.
And this, I know that's not quite true.
What? Seven names.
I mean, you know, I grew up in South Korea, a country where phone books are borderline useless because they really are, you know.
They just have K.
Well, yeah, 80% of the country is the same, I don't know, eight surnames or something.
Oh, so what use are surnames? We've talked about this in Korea, but explain it again.
Well, there it kind of becomes a clan importance. Like you need to know which Pak family you're from, and you identify very much with the past accomplishments, and it, you know, it's kind of a Game of Thrones kind of a house that you're.
I see, it's a house that you've been born into. Sense.
And so you inherit a pedigree with centuries of genealogy, and we're just too young a country for that. So we're naming all our kids Madison. Oh, the other phenomenon it's well understood now is that names now go down the socioeconomic ladder. Rich people innovate, and then as soon as the middle class catches on and downward, then they're like, well, I'm not naming my baby Ashley anymore.
Right.
So there's one generation where all the Ashleys are rich and snooty, and then there's a generation where the Ashleys are lower middle class and the rich stop using it.
But, you know, the middle class never started calling their children McGeorge or Chevy like those were like high class names that didn't translate. McGeorge Bundy being my favorite of all of the.
You like when you wanted to imprint what was cool on your kids, you were like, it's pretty much McGeorge Bundy.
McGeorge Bundy. Well, it's for sure. I tried to look like McGeorge Bundy all through college.
A lot of the time, the arena for this is actually in legal courts of law and in registrar offices all over the world. That's where this struggle continues. Like in the United States, it's generally been accepted at the state level and through quite a bit of case law that your right to name your kid whatever you want is protected by due process, the 14th Amendment, and it's protected by free speech, that it's your personal expression. When you think about that, it's a little messed up. What this person will be named for the next possibly 90 years is a matter of my personal expression.
My right.
Because I was the one signing the birth certificate.
Right.
Even though they will, within a decade or two, be completely legally out of my jurisdiction and probably before that psychologically, it's protected by the courts that I get to express myself by naming my daughter Aquarium.
Did you feel, is she an American aquarium drinker? did you ever go, oh God, why am I Ken? My dad is Ken. Ken, Kenneth.
Well, that's very old world. I think you and I both have family first names that you can't really argue with.
Oh my God, there are so many Johns in my family.
And, you know, overseas, there tends to be a lot more limitation on what is, by regulation and law, allowed to be something to name a baby. Ken was never a cool name. It was out by the time I got it. And my wife, for sure, is the last of the Red Hot Mindys. You know,
Mindy is a cool name.
But it's like a cheerleader cool name to you and me.
Mindy Kaling is not a cheerleader.
But you know why she's Mindy Kaling? That's an immigrant name because her parents assimilated on Mork and Mindy.
Oh.
she's literally the last Mindy.
Oh, wow. That's good. Mindy. Yeah. Like they came to America and they're like, what's a good American name?
And they turn on ABC at 8 o'clock and it's like, Mindy. There's Pam Dauber.
Do you remember when Bruce was considered a kind of feminine boy's name?
Yeah. It was the punchline of like when you needed a punchline for like, what's the gay character? Because I'm Andrew Dice Clay and I'm telling homophobic jokes.
Oh, his name is Bruce.
Yeah. That's what you do with a lisp.
I remember a Mad Magazine parody from the 70s where somebody was like, oh, he's Bruce, he's really effeminate. And then in the background, there was a TV playing where it was like, Bruce Jenner just wins the 11th Olympic gold. And at the time, we were like, ha, 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 yes, Mad Magazine, you have turned the tables on that trope.
Because of, you know, the definition of masculinity.
Yeah, nobody could be more macho than Bruce Jenner.
I mean, Bruce Springsteen probably saved it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the stereotype became that it was an Australian name. I think Bruce. Monty Python told us that Bruce was an Australian name.
Oh, and if you say it with an Australian accent, Bruce.
Bruce.
It's kind of a, it feels macho again.
Yes, to the degree that an Australian accent can ever be macho.
Uh-huh.
Like they have their own kind of outback masculinity, but it's not fully shared by any other nation.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, Steve Irwin is both a crazy guy, a crazy like fun macho guy, but he's also, I don't know, a little bit fey.
Well, not anymore. He's not.
Right.
So there are legal restrictions on names, but even in America, where it's, for the most part, anything goes. Because there is this balance you're striking in any law, in any set of laws, of to what degree does the parent have full legal stewardship over this child, and to what degree does the state have to step in and say, no, that's abuse, that's neglect, or even beyond that, you know, to what degree can the state say, no, this child gets a blood transfusion,
right?
Even if you think the Bible says no. Or
has the state, is that affirmed nationwide that a Christian Scientist cannot deny a blood transfusion or a Seventh-day Adventist or whatever?
I believe most of those test cases in the U.S., I believe the court often just does find stewardship for the child and say, no, we're going to protect the life of the child over and above the parents' First Amendment rights.
But
it's a tricky case.
Yeah, that extends to like, well, I'm teaching my children that it's a flat earth.
I'm teaching my kid not to get the COVID vaccination.
Right.
You know, well, when should the state step in? So it's, you know, you can see that it's not always as black and white as, well, of course the parents should name their child. Screw you, circuit courts.
No, I'm a liberal. I think the state should raise all children in giant baby farms.
The more the state nannies, the better.
Yeah.
As far as we are concerned here.
I think that the state should step in, take the children's guns, and then force them to be vaccinated.
But the fact that there's a balance to be struck here means that you get absurd bright lines when it comes to the legality of different kinds of baby naming. Let's walk through it in the U.S. It even affects surnames. There are laws on the court in many states have laws about what surname you can give a child.
No.
Yeah, on the books in Louisiana, Tennessee, it must be the mother's last name. Sorry, I got that wrong. It must be the father's last name. Because, you know, the reason for this law is to assert paternity, which is a much less obvious legal fact than whose uterus the baby came out of. That's why children in our culture and many cultures are given the father's last name. And in some states, that's a legality. You have to give the baby the father's last name unless the parents have both agreed on one of two options, the mother's maiden name or a hyphenated combination, or, you know, or a combination that includes both names, but not a hybrid. Mr. Smith and Ms. Johnson cannot have a baby named Smijon as their surname. It would have to be Smith Johnson or Johnson Smith.
So if we had a baby, it could not be
you and I?
Yeah, Rod Jennings or
Jen Audrick. That's the funny thing. None of these laws were drafted at a time when same-sex marriage was legal. So as a result, two lesbian mothers in Louisiana or Tennessee, I mean, they're going to have the hard life that goes with being lesbian family in Louisiana or Tennessee, but they can totally get around the has to have the father's last name law.
Right.
Because the law is silent on what to do when there is no legal father on the birth certificate.
Does the court say, which one of you is more the father?
I want to, each of you tell me what you bought on your last trip to Home Depot. And if you can't remember going to Home Depot, it's your last name. No, so there is a carve out actually for a weird loophole because a lot of these laws are older than the normalizing of gay families and in a lot of cases, these laws come up not in birth registration, but in divorce court.
Oh.
Where suddenly, not suddenly, but at some point, one or both of the parents thinks this child should not have his deadbeat father's last name, should have my maiden name, which I went back to.
And the court won't change it?
Well, these are the laws that govern that. I think even in Louisiana and Tennessee, this is kind of the old thing of both parents still have to agree, even the
deadbeat dad
whose name is getting stripped from the birth certificate. First name restrictions are much more common. There are several states like Texas and New Jersey that don't allow numbers.
Texas and New Jersey, the two states that most often agree, they don't allow numbers. You can't name your child one.
Yeah, Elon Musk is in a world of pain.
Are his children named numbers?
Oh, yeah, he's got the kid named, he and Grimes have the kid named X, then an AE ligature, then like A12. And I think at some point it was 1-2, but he might have changed it to XII.
God, is there a realm in which he doesn't suck?
There, in fact, is not.
Oh, did he have a baby with Grimes?
Two. I think one via surrogacy.
No kidding.
And each name odder than the last. The second one has like the most edgelord, like, what do you think is cool in the margins of your three-ring binder name? It's like, my daughter is called Dark Lord Swordfist or something. Imogen.
Imogen. So, but what if you wanted to name your daughter, like I have a song in the Long Winters catalog called Seven, and it's about a girl named Seven.
Where it's literally the number seven.
No, oh, no. It's the word
S-E-V-E-N.
Seven. Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, you can do that. You just can't have it be the number.
And you can do the third. And in many of these cases, it's not clear to what degree the law comes from not a sense of social order, but just what operating system or filing system that the birth office was running at the time the law was drafted or the policy was put in place. Because a lot of states are like, you can't have, for example, Kansas, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Minnesota, Ohio, South Dakota, California, Georgia, and Idaho all have various restrictions on special characters.
Whoa.
In a kid's name. No, okay.
No ampersands?
Yeah, in some cases it's just the 26 letters. In some cases it's like punctuation is fine. The most common case is 26 letters, and then you can have apostrophes and hyphens, but no other special characters or diacritics. Can you understand why that law came about? I'll give you a hint. It starts with R and it rhymes with racism.
Oh, spacism? No, racism? Raspicism. Rasputinism.
If you say no punctuation.
Oh, you can't have LaShonda.
Yeah, well, no, it's the other way around. You can be racist with this law.
Oh.
You can, so if you were to say no punctuation, then all the O'Reillys would be out of luck if you say it because of no apostrophes.
Right, so you can use
and all the and all the old money, you couldn't have
Tim Rice-Oxley.
Why is the Keen, what does he play, bass?
No, he's the piano player and songwriter of Keen.
Oh, the keyboardist for Keen.
So he's my go-to for posh English name, Tim Rice-Oxley.
So you could not have old world names with, whether it's the poor potato farms of Ireland or the mansions of the stately homes of England or New England.
But there are a lot of names now that use apostrophes.
Oh, I see. Not in an O'Reilly kind of way, but like...
Just, no, sort of African-American culture uses a lot of apostrophes.
A lot of from African languages, like Nkwame or something.
But then, I mean, all the Native American spellings all have all these...
The glottal stop with the weird question mark thing.
Yeah, and then
I shouldn't say weird.
What do you do about umlauts?
California specifically bans umlauts.
What?
So this dates back to 1986. Liberal lion Ronald Reagan has just signed the IRCA, Immigration Reform and Control Act, I think, which gave legal status to about 3 million previously undocumented people. This is the kind of thing that would be a deal killer for a Democratic president today.
Yeah.
This is how far both parties have drifted rightward. Reagan did it. But just as a sign of what was coming through the Republican Party, a bunch of right-wing crazies hated that Reagan had signed that law. And so there were a lot of kind of pushback, retrenchment kind of laws, like how can we make life worse for these newly legalized Latinos? And in the state of California, which had Republican Governor Pete Wilson for a lot of the 80s, there were a lot of suggestions. Proposition 187 passed on the ballot. California, not a reliable blue state at the time. Prop 187, you might recall, would have made it illegal for non-citizens to get any kind of access to public, what do you call the commons?
Yeah.
Any kind of
resources.
Resources, including public education or healthcare.
I remember this. This was a big deal.
And it passed. Voters of California passed 187, and it was only when the court found it literally unconstitutional because the Constitution does not say that you can make citizenship a test for things like, was it struck down. But California also passed Prop 63, which made English the national language of California. And as a result of
which would also make California a nation?
Yeah, I guess. Did I say national language?
Yeah.
The official language of California. But yeah, they would have thought of themselves as a nation.
The nation of California.
They got to get out from under the liberal thumb of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
As corollary to that law.
187 continues to be a problem in California, right? Isn't it still the sort, it was a, because it also had a taxation clause.
Oh, is 187 the one that screwed up their ability to raise money?
Isn't it 187? That keeps the Californians from.
No, there is still what was that? What was the property tax law in California? That was it 187? That was Prop 13.
Proposition 13.
That's the one that. Right. Yeah.
I'd just like to point out that Grimes had a third child with Elon Musk.
Oh, I thought it was just two.
Born in September of this year. 2 months ago, Grimes, who's been separated from Elon for a long time, had another child with Elon.
They both had their genetic components probably circling the earth in some kind of frozen thing.
And they were like, you know what? It's a love eternal. Can we talk about the incredible all-in-one platform for building your brand and growing your audience online? Squarespace, an awful lot on this program, but there's a reason.
Yeah, our passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
Our
mm-hmm.
personal love for their amazing features.
Not every business has almost only good things you can say about it, but Squarespace certainly does.
Do you ever use a company's website and you think, well, this is not very good? I tried to pay some kind of state or some municipal tax this week, and I was like, boy, the city of Seattle hasn't redone this website in 20 years.
You know, my favorite thing is when you log on to a website and it immediately throws up a big thing telling you that you're going to get 10% off, and then you close it down, and then it throws up a second thing, and then you close that down, and then there's like six ads on the page. That just makes me feel so cherished.
A lot of people have websites that they rely on to do business or to promote stuff or to release stuff or to do art, and they're not getting all the engagement they could because the sites need a little refresh.
Well, and I'm of the opinion that we are headed back to a world where people have their own website.
Yeah.
And away from this situation where you have to be on Amazon or advertising
Instagram
on Facebook.
Or,
I mean, you need to, I think we need to return to the golden age of the internet where people have a website, but building
if you don't have a blog, by the way,
yeah,
you're going to get left behind in John's New Utopia.
Yeah, that's right. Building a website is challenging, especially for somebody like me, who's not especially tech savvy.
But you know who makes it easy?
Squarespace. That's right.
They've got tools like Fluid Engine. That's their new next generation website design system, which means it just unleashes your creativity. There's a bunch of templates, but then you can customize every detail in a super intuitive way. So it's not cookie cutter.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing drag and drop interface that lets you design the site the way you would want to.
It even allows you to do video content, which I'm of the opinion you don't need to do. Video content is something you can do. You might be into making videos, but for me, I want a beautiful website. I want it to have good writing. I want it to, you know, include a podcast component because that's the art I do.
Well, Asset Library is the all-in-one Squarespace solution that lets you manage all kinds of content, video, audio, whatever it is, images, one-stop shopping, super intuitive and easy to use.
So when we talk about Squarespace, we're doing so from a position of knowledge and from...
And also of them paying us to do so.
Well, that's also true, but we use their product and...
We do.
It's one of the few things you can look at in the modern world and go, I don't see any downside to this. This is good stuff at a good price.
It hasn't gotten bad.
That's right. Oh. And when I say good price, let me just riddle you this, Batman.
Yes. Riddler?
It's not actually a riddle. It's pretty straightforward. Okay. In fact, it's a pitch. Go to squarespace.com/omnibus for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code OMNIBUS, and you're going to get, here's the riddle. How much are you going to get off, Ken?
I need to go to the bat computer.
It's not really a riddle
either. How much is it?
You're going to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain.
I've solved your devious riddle, Riddler. The answer is omnibus.
That's your Batman impression?
It's my Adam West. It's terrible.
Well, it's actually pretty good, Adam West, now that I think about it.
Omnibus, chum. Offer code omnibus. You'll save 10% off your first purchase. The corollary of Prop 63 passing, making English the official language of California, was...
Wait a minute. I just have to interrupt again.
I'm sure it's equally relevant to this thing you said about Grimes.
That means that Grimes and Elon had Congress with one another during Elon's takeover of Twitter.
Not necessarily. Not if there's frozen OVA embryo or Elonazoa involved.
Of course. It could have been Elonazoa. Anyway, sorry. I'm taking you off your topic.
No, not at all. Well, I was just telling this whole sidetrack about Reagan's immigration amnesty, because the only reason it's relevant here is because it let California say no diacritical marks in birth certificates. And that's a huge deal for California's enormous Latino population, because it makes names like Jose and Maria illegal in the state of California.
You can't do an accent.
You can't put the little accent on the E in Jose, the accent on the I in Maria. Many of the most common surnames, like Sanchez, Gomez, they all have accents, because otherwise they would have the accent on the second syllable.
But also, I mean, aren't there French names that have you know, lots of accents and Norwegian names?
It was the kind of thing where I think the...
about Finnish? It has conservatives, those
dots. Yeah, it's got the double dots, like in Quenya and Sindarin. I think the conservatives of California were willing to piss off a few good Finns and French people if it would strip them out of the Mexican names.
Wow.
And so to this day, you cannot be named Maria in California spelled correctly.
You can't have it on your birth certificate, but you can immediately begin spelling it that way.
Yeah, but often...
Yeah, right.
Other government agencies will follow the birth certificate, and maybe private entities as well. Maybe a bank would complain if your mortgage application doesn't match your name.
Man, that's some dirty dealing.
It's pretty bad. And, you know, they've tried to repeal it many times over the years. I think Jerry Brown vetoed it the last time it came before him because, and this could have been correct, although I share Jello Biafra's opinion of Jerry Brown.
Tough talk.
Which was that, you know, if the law just changes all the birth certificates, now it's going to lead to all kinds of mismatches with other state agencies that are not getting updated. And the bill did not fund, you know, whatever kinds of software changes would be required to add literally probably a million diacritic marks back to the population of California that had been stripped away by the state. You can't open a clinic just giving away diacritical marks to people.
Sure. Sure. It's got to be part of the budget.
But it's just so craven to me that they specifically said hyphens and apostrophes are okay. Because the enemy is not Mrs. O'Reilly.
Right. It's not Tim Rice Oxley.
It's not Tim Rice Oxley you need to keep out of California.
Well, so yeah, what a short-sighted, but again, I guess, are there any, you know, John and Susan don't have any punctuation marks in them.
Those are the good names.
So that must have been where they were coming from. It's sometimes hard for me to put myself back in the mindset of 1982, because the past is a foreign country, right? It's such an... Even though those were where my values were forged, it's so weird to think how little we thought about stuff.
Well, there's now about a dozen states that have some restriction on illegal characters. And really? California specifically says no pictograms. They were ready for the emoji era. You could not name your kid the eggplant emoji, even if you could name her aubergine. But the list of states that has these restrictions includes Massachusetts. You know, it's not some red state, blue state divide. So in many cases, it is just like who was told by their IT department that it would break things if they had non-ASCII characters.
So this is kind of a Y2K thing, too. It's just like, our computers can't register this stuff?
In some cases, it's going to be database related.
Wow.
And that's why in some cases it's like, well, of course, diacritic marks are okay, but no... You know, but only if they're over an English letter. You know, you can't have an at sign.
So, and this doesn't This doesn't create a problem in the free speech. Isn't that an appeal? Like, what about my rights as a kook?
As a kook to name my kid Jose or Maria?
Well, no, as a kook to name my kid ASCII image of a bull with a ring in its nose.
I don't know if those. I don't know if anybody's ever tested the California law in the courts. It still comes before the legislature frequently, and it may pass this year. I think there's currently an attempt to reform it. But I think the courts have widely held that, even if you generally have the right of expression to name your kid, that the state has a practical interest in making sure their driver's license registry runs correctly. You know, like Arizona, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and Texas all have character limits.
Oh, so you can't be like that guy in the Monty Python sketch?
Right, blim, blim, blim. They're extremely liberal limits. In Arizona, you only have 45 letters for your first name, 45 for your middle name, 45 for your last name, and then you get 6 digits for a suffix.
Is this also a database thing?
I mean, at some point, on some level, it probably is. Some administrator somewhere was like, do not let any joker dads at the hospital try to break my character limit. So in Arizona, it's effectively 141 characters. In Minnesota, it's 50-50-50, so it's 150 characters. New Hampshire and Texas just have a total limit of 100 for that field. And I don't think anybody could ever go to court and say, I have the legal right to break my state's baby name database by naming my child the first paragraph of Bleak House by Charles Dickens.
Right, but what about all those Saxe Coburg or Brian Eno types that have like 11 names?
Yeah, I mean, there are people who, there's plenty of Latino people have 8 surnames or something, or if you count middle names, they could run afoul of a 45 character limit. It would probably just truncate.
Yeah.
They'd be like, yeah, that is your name, but in our database, it stops at the 50th character, which is a second
Maria.
And there are some states that have more specific no-goes, like Arkansas and New Mexico have specific names that are not allowed, but it's not Hitler and Dickhead. It's,
oh, that's good. So you could name your son Hitler Dickhead Jennings.
That's why every kid in Arkansas is named, not both, it's Hitler or Dickhead.
Oh, I see. Sure, one cancels the other out.
Exactly. Like it would be a progressive state where all the kids are named Hitler Dickhead.
So what are the names?
It's names that would appear to be a database mistake. So you can't name your kid baby boy, baby girl, infant, unknown, void, male, female, just the kind of words that would look like they're a no-name placeholder.
Can you do Jane Doe?
Yeah, you can do Jane Doe for sure. But I'm not sure if you could do NMI as your middle initial, because that means no middle initial in a lot of government systems.
Oh, that'd be funny. It's like the rats of NMI.
A tiny minority of states forbid obscene words. California, Louisiana, Nebraska, and New Jersey does. Nebraska, for whatever reason, has a ban on abbreviations. Vermont, being Vermont,
sure,
explicitly says, this is the most Vermont law ever, you may use trademark names, IBM, diseases, like anthrax, or obscenities, but we recommend against it.
Yeah.
That's, they have the sensible libertarian streak of their New Hampshire, they have the libertarian streak of their New Hampshire neighbors, but with the nanny state approach that we strongly think that no right-thinking Vermonter would ever do this.
That's right. Do not name your child damn anthrax.
Because of the vibes.
Yeah, bad vibes.
Vermont has a vibe-based approach to baby names.
But they're like McBundy is like top five names.
Only Connecticut, Michigan, and Nevada. Connecticut, Michigan, and Nevada are the true libertarian paradises because those are the only 3 states in which it's allowed to name your baby nothing at all.
What?
It's the equivalent of a conscientious objector.
How do you name your baby nothing?
Well, I mean, it's difficult around the house.
Yeah, right.
But nobody's going to come after you if the birth certificate has a blank name field.
Yeah, but what? I mean, I guess. Sure.
What's your name? And you say, the sound of one hand clapping. There are edge cases in the courts, even in the U.S. They often make the news. The most famous one was in 2013 in East Tennessee. A magistrate from Cock County named Luann Beaulieu
had
two parents come before her, Jalessa Martin and Jawan McCullough. So you can imagine just this kind of platonic ideal of a Tennessee white lady has these black parents come before them because I think there's been it's a child support case. There's been a divorce. And I think they've agreed that they want to change their baby Martin's name. Sorry, they want to change their baby's surname from McCullough back to Martin. And she decides, even though nobody has asked her, that this is not going to stand. Yeah, the magistrate decides that even though this was not part of the case that was brought before her, that she is not going to countenance that baby being named Messiah. In her ruling, she writes, Messiah means saver. Savior, deliverer, the one who will restore God's kingdom. Messiah is a title that is held only by Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear.
And because in Religious East Tennessee, this child will face such an uphill battle if having the name of our Lord, she directs the court to rename him Martin, the mother's maiden name. Hmm. Now, this, it turns out, even in East Tennessee, is not legal and is, in fact, against the honor code of her office, which says she will exercise her powers without any regard for the religion, her religion or the religion of anybody else in the great state of Tennessee.
Let me guess, was she an appointed officer of the court, appointed by a governor?
I wonder how magistrates work at the county level, because her ruling is immediately overruled by whatever the next level up, a chancellor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who then actually
censures her and
removes her from office and censures her.
Yeah, okay.
But that did not stop her. In fact, probably qualified her to run for judge twice in that county. She could not get out of the Republican primary in either case. But I mean, I feel like the time has come for a woman whose sole qualification is that she did not think a baby could have the same name that is held only by Jesus Christ.
Let me ask, what are the things that disqualifies one for running in the Republican primary for any office in this country? I can't imagine a disqualifying thing.
The guy who beat her in the last primary was more of a... I've been a prosecutor for 8 years.
Oh,
I've got the experience that Lou Anne Beaulieu doesn't have. He was not like, she's the nut job from that story that was in 100 countries.
No, I thought you were going to say he was a Marine sniper who believes the world is flat and he...
he out-crazied her. No, I think the idea that even in East Tennessee, these people are a majority, it's kind of overstated.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think...
Like
there's a degree to which these people want the palatable version of their craziness on the ballot. You know, they they don't want trying to overthrow the government on the ballot. That's unseemly.
Sure, some of them, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's horrifying that a third to 40% of them do. But it's not, even in East Tennessee, it's not the majority of them. So anyway, the U.S. has this kind of anything goes policy, but that is actually the exception, but not the rule, because most countries actually go the other way. Like, there's a long tradition in Europe of, in fact, there being a, and South America, of there being a list of acceptable names.
That you have to choose
from. That you must choose from.
And how long is the list?
It's long, you know, it's gotten longer as time goes on. Let's say I have numbers here. In Denmark, for example, there are 18,000... legitimate women's girls' names and 15,000 for guys.
Well, you know, the thing about the Danish language is that it's very hard. The Danish language does not adopt new words very easily. So there's often a problem in Denmark of trying to describe new concepts by either making sort of German, like, glom on words, where it's like, this is a rabbit host machine casserole.
We're not going to say laptop.
Right.
We're going to say sitting user number cruncher
electric
box.
Book.
Yeah, electric book.
So that may be an additional element where they're like, look, we don't have even the words to call this name a name.
Well, I think that there might be something to that, because weirdly, what we would think of as ultra progressive Scandinavia was often the last bastion of this kind of, nope, here are the list of saints you can be named for. And I think it's because Europe has that weird mix of being to the left of the U.S. on some axes, but on the other hand, you know, having the weird traditionalism that comes from having state religions.
Yeah.
In very recent memory.
They're all, I mean, in Germany, they're still, grocery stores aren't open on Sunday.
Right.
But the Germans also have nude beaches every time there's a bend in the river.
So this is an example of that, because naming your baby would often be a process that was bound up in a calendar of saints' days, liturgical saints' days, and a name you would have to register with the church.
Oh, I see.
And so in a lot of cases, there was this sense that it was not a nanny state thing. It was really more of a, well, here's what traditional, you know, our beautiful tradition says God wants babies named. And it's only recently that's bumped up against a new multiculturalism where immigrant families are like, what? No, I'm not naming my kid as Sven, you know, after your weird list of saints.
Yeah, although, yeah, you could see it's that old thing where people are like, no, this is how society is ordered.
Right.
Like, it's not about saints or, I mean, you see this all the time in these cultural conversations where it's like, it's not about...
A good liberal wants immigrants to...
Really
bend the knee. You
it's
know?
A melting pot rather than saying like, nope, get out of the way.
And so a lot of these laws do have loopholes. And these laws go back, you know, the list in France goes back to Napoleonic era laws of here are the good names. Germany had Nazi era laws about here's the acceptable names for Germans. Here's a different list for Jews. But the carve outs in Scandinavia now, for example... In Denmark, if you want to name your kid something from your home country, well, I was going to say from your home country, you know, you're a Turkish immigrant who wants to name your kid something that's not on the list, you can apply for an exception and they will consult with the embassy and see.
Of Turkey?
Yeah.
Oh, like, is this a real name?
Yeah. Hey, are they trying to pull something? Because, you know, obviously we love all the cultures. Oh boy, do we love all the cultures. But can you imagine what would happen to society if kids started to be named Laser and IKEA?
Yeah, exactly. Immolate.
So they still have names. They still have rules like, well, it can't seem like a surname. It can't have like orthography that would violate our rules like, okay, you can name your kid Mohammed, but it's got to have two M's in a row and not three. Because that would just be nuts. Like, it's funny that that's what doesn't pass the smell test is, you know, what looks like good Danish spelling?
Yeah,
you
know? Right. Could it be Muhammad, except there's an apostrophe between the two M's? Muhammad?
Like in Finland, for example, your name can be something that's not a real name, but it can't seem non-traditional in its native language. It can't be too cross-gender. Two siblings can't have the same name. That would be confusing. You know, a lot of good behavior is still being enforced in what we would think of as you know, borderline socialist paradises.
Yeah.
In Norway, if you can give your kid a different surname, but it has to be a surname that's common enough that more than 200 Norwegians have the name surname.
Whoa.
If you try to give your kid a surname that fewer than 200 Norwegians shares, you must get every Norwegian currently with that surname to agree.
To add one more to the house.
Well, if it's under 200, like, let's say there's 86 Norwegians in the registry named whatever new thing you've got. Sven Voldenstein. You have to find all 93 Sven Voldensteins to get them to pass off on the new name. And then and only then can you change your kid's name from Larson to Sven Voldenstein.
Huh.
So a lot of it seems just like these bright lines that have been erected seem... insane. The Spanish law, Spain, you know, these former Catholic countries were often the ones that were like, nope, got to be something from the Bible. And now a lot of them have, you know, embraced a larger world, but they still will say, as long as it's not confusing or as long as it's not extravagant. Portugal, I think, still has a ban on gender bending that is really not going to hold up to a new world of trans and non-binary positivity. So I think a lot of these are just doomed.
How would they feel about Tilden?
That seems like exactly the kind of name that we would think of as harmless.
Yeah.
And
or Avery.
And a magistrate in Sweden would say, Avery? What's Swedish about Avery?
Right.
You're going to have to show your work.
Right.
In other countries, it's much more of an ideological divide where you can still, the country really shows its cards, you know, in Tajikistan. Any name that sounds too Arabic or Islamic.
Ooh, busted.
But
no Muhammad Zoralis there.
In Azerbaijan, no Armenian sounding names. But it cuts the other way in Saudi Arabia or Iran. You know, Saudi Arabia.
Everybody hates on the Armenians.
Poor Armenians. In Kyrgyzstan, it goes the other way. No Russified names, you know, because they're all about their Kyrgyz pride.
Right, get away.
But there are many Muslim countries where, like Saudi Arabia, there have been specific cases where people have tried to name kids in the kingdom Elaine or Linda. And the courts have said, no, you don't.
Is that right?
Yeah, none of your fancy Western names here in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
No kidding.
Iran's extremely strict. You know, like anything that sounds like it could be slightly androgynous is no good. Anything that could be not a traditional Islamic-sounding name,
are there non-Quranic names. Sunni-Shiite issues where a name is particularly one or the other? I guess not. I guess they all of the original prophets had.
Yeah, as long as it's Quranic, names. I think
yeah.
you're going to agree, you know, if you're off the Quranic. I mean, there are, but these are the countries where you get the funny news stories. Have you seen this, like we did that whole show on overdue library books just because I love that news story when it comes up. But have you seen these news stories of like, two parents in New Zealand have tried to name their kid sex fruit.
Yeah, right.
And a judge has said, no, sir.
No, sir. Sex fruit.
Sex fruit is now a ward of the state.
That's
in order for the court to say. but this happens all the time. In 2000, like Norway's laws are still strict enough that in 2009, a young boy named Krister wrote to King Harald V to say, Your Majesty, I would like to be named Sonic X. That is my favorite anime. And my favorite cartoon. I need to be named Sonic X. And the king says, the king actually writes back and says, no, I'm sorry, you can't be named Sonic X. That has nothing to do with Sonic, who I'm sure is a wonderful hedgehog, but you can only make that decision once you're 18. You need to write back in 12 years. When they asked—
Whoa, the kid is only six?
Yeah, in 2009.
And he wants to have his name changed to Sonic X?
And his parents at first don't send the letter. And the kid is like, why didn't you, the king hasn't written back. You didn't send the letter, did you? And so the parents are like, fine, we'll send the letter. The king does write back and says, ask me again in 12 years. And that was in 2000.
The king's being reasonable there.
He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
But I mean, these modern Scandinavian royalty, they've got nothing but time to answer fan mail, you know, like.
No, they're out riding their bicycles.
They asked Krister, the papers asked Krister what he thought about the king not allowing him to be renamed Sonic X. And he said, it was a bit bad.
Because the Scandinavian newspapers also have nothing to report on except.
But isn't that the most. Immigration. Isn't that the most.
It was a bit bad.
It was a bit. Isn't that the most Nordic response imaginable?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go crazy and say that I was brokenhearted, but it was a bit bad.
It was a bit bad.
Is
Sonic a good hedgehog?
He's probably one of the better hedgehogs. He's fast. He's one of the faster
hedgehogs.
Well,
that's the thing. That's one thing that hedgehogs aren't.
That's why he's better than all the rest. He's clearly.
I see.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a Sonic supremacist.
Right.
But he's clearly more genetically fit, racially fit, purer than all the other hedgehogs.
I see.
He has glowing blue skin that they do not.
Sure, of course.
The thing about this story with Krister wanting to be named Sonic X is it happened in 2009.
Oh, okay.
Which means it's been 2 years since Krister was legally allowed his name to change to Sonic X. And I don't know if anybody's done the follow-up.
I mean, I wonder, you know, if Krister is like somebody who either is neurodivergent in a way that would, you know, have him fixate on this, or if he's just a really stubborn little guy who's like, I'm sticking with this. Like,
I bet at this point he's like, F the monarchy.
Yeah.
If King Harald V says I could be named Sonic the X, well, I'm not going to do it.
Oh, I see.
I'll be named Krister.
I'm not going to ask him.
Yeah, what does he know?
I'm living in Christiania now.
In 20... Isn't that Copenhagen?
Yeah, but you know, that's where they go.
He took a ferry. In 2015, a judge in Valenciennes, France, ruled that two parents could not name their newborn Nutella.
Whereas here in the United States, I feel like Nutella would be.
That would be
I wouldn't
coolest
be surprised
name.
If there was one of those at my daughter's school.
There'd probably be two, and they have to go by Nutella R and Nutella J.
Yeah, what's up, Nutella?
The judge said it is contrary to the child's interest to have a name that can only lead to teasing or disparaging thought.
Right.
Whereas that is not a legal standard we have here. Nobody in the U.S. is like, you know, they're going to tease your kid if you name him
peanut butter.
Well, I was just thinking like a real name. Can you imagine if the judge said you cannot name that little girl Regina? Have you thought about that for 10 seconds?
I mean, do think about that before you name them Regina. But, you know, here nobody's ever heard of Nutella. So you could name your kid that and it would just seem, if you put an apostrophe in it, N apostrophe Utella.
I got this list from the BBC. In Iceland, Elvis was a yes. Carolina was a no.
Carolina, what a lovely name.
In New Zealand, number 16 bus shelter was a yes.
No.
Perhaps the child was conceived there?
Come on.
But yeah, Detroit was a no. Can you imagine the loss of New Zealand national character that would be permitted if a child were there were to be named Yeah, Detroit?
Yeah, Detroit. But would Dr. Detroit pass? But wait a minute. What was the first one?
Number 16 bus shelter.
Number 16 bus shelter is my child's name.
But here, clearly somebody's venue shopping. Yeah. You know, some judge was like, yes, fine, parents can be dopes. And the other guy was like, no. A strong New Zealand needs fewer children named for bus shelters in Michigan cities.
Right.
In Germany, Legolas was a yes.
Of course.
But Mati was a no because it was too gender neutral at whatever time this was handed down.
M-A-T-I?
M-A-T-T-I.
What?
I think because it could be Matthias or whatever a German girl could be that starts with Mott.
Mati isn't already a German name?
It sounds like, I know Spanish Matis. I think there's probably, well, not legally there's not.
Crazy.
I can't read my own writing, Sweden, Metallica is a yes, but this 30 consonants in a row, 1116 was not allowed.
Well, okay, agreed.
In Japan, Japan's much more traditional. Akuma was not allowed just because it's the name of the devil. It's like a demon name.
Akuma. You couldn't name your kid after a demon.
Well, I mean, you couldn't anywhere else on earth. Emigrate.
Imagine naming your kid Metallica. What a total metal name that would be.
I bet in that case, the judge not only said yes, but said, and I'd like to give the plaintiff a high five here.
Exactly. Two devil horns, like, but you couldn't name your kid after a demon in Japan.
In Portugal, Mona Lisa was a no. In India, Lenin, Stalin, Brezhnev, and Khrushchev were all yeses, and I don't know if that's all the same family or not.
If you had four kids and you named them Lenin, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, and Stalin?
Presumably in the other order, but yeah.
I mean, Lenin and Stalin, okay. Khrushchev, yeah, sure. Brezhnev?
Isn't there some Indian novel or movie where a kid is named Gogol? Yeah, I think The Namesake by Jim Palahir. I think it was a kid named Gogol. So maybe in India they just love Russian surnames.
Russians. Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I can't figure it out. For the most part, the craziest ones of these stories seem to come out of Australia and New Zealand. And I don't know if that's flakier parents or more restrictive judiciary.
I mean, they do also have a culture of individuality, but they also are a crown colony, so conformist by nature. So it's easier to be a nonconformist in Australia, which is why they're all such pleasant kooks.
In Australia, and they feel like, you know, what's the worst that can happen? We're way down here.
Yeah, right.
You know, like the stakes are extremely low.
What if I named my son Barbie 2000?
In Australia, I think the courts have not allowed the following names. Robocop.
Lame.
Scrotum.
I mean, Robocop's a cool name. Yeah, lame of the courts.
Well, I mean, here are the two ways it can go are the Robocop parent who's trying to pick a name that's too cool for the country.
Right.
Or scrotum, where you're trying to pick a name that's too uncool for society.
Yeah, what the hell are you doing, scrotum? You have problems.
Robocop scrotum could be, a hyphenated name.
Robocop scrotum.
The courts did not allow IKEA, marijuana, or dickhead.
Huh.
And there's a whole list of names that seem to be not allowed because they would be confused as titles. Like in Australia, you can't name your kid Emperor, Commodore, seemingly because it would be stolen valor.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean? Like, you can't name your kid General Foster, because, you know, he has not actually attained the rank.
I was saying to my daughter the other day that her teenage friends, because she came home one day recently and said, and called me bro.
No, bro.
And I said, call me bro one more time and you're going to live in the bottom of a swimming pool. But then I said, and that's not what I really mean, so don't send me any angry letters. But then I said, listen, I want your friends, when they come around here, to call me Colonel, because I'm a Kentucky Colonel. And I am not going to get called bro. I'm not going to get called John.
I had a Jeopardy player call me Colonel the other day. Not on camera, but must have been an omnibus listener.
Awesome.
So is it working? Are they calling you Colonel?
She just thought that was the most ridiculous thing. She was never going to have her friends call me Colonel. And I'm like, well, I'm sticking to this. Have your friends come over here, call me John.
New Zealand, as always, is an even flakier version of Australia on this point.
Flakier than scrotum?
The courts have disallowed parents naming their children anal. Queen Victoria, Sex Fruit, or my personal favorite, Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. I mean, anal could have been anal, because it's from a language that doesn't have, it could be, they could have meant to pronounce it anal.
I guess. It just seems
and
very
the judge was like, listen, I'm going to help you out here. That's not really a name here.
The fact that the child exists means your name should probably be vaginal. The case of Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
A family tried to name their baby Tallulah Does the Hula. Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii. The judge actually, and it was a custody battle. The parents were separated, so the judge had to step in here. And he actually, I think it was a case where
there were a bunch of Beanie Babies on the floor and they were separating.
Yeah, exactly.
Them in half.
One parent wanted to give the kid this terrible ego joke name and the other one did not. And the court actually, this is so funny.
Not only said no joke name, but also awarded custody to the other parent.
Yeah, the court actually took stewardship of the child and made her a ward of the court just for the purpose of not letting this 9-year-old be named Tallulah Does the Hula from Hawaii, even though New Zealand courts in the past had allowed number 16 bus shelter and violence.
Ooh. Violence. Violencia.
It's just an interesting mark of what the culture values. You know, is it the parents' right of expression? Or is there some degree to which the child must be protected from his or herself? The judge here said it makes a fool of the child and sets her up with a social disability and handicap unnecessarily. But it's really a step beyond, I'm not going to give this child chemotherapy because I'm Christian Scientist. And it moves beyond, I really think this kid should be cooler on the playground.
Yeah.
And therefore, I'm going to step in.
I mean, there are so many instances, there's such a huge range in the middle where normal parenting trends into abnormal parenting, trends into really challenging, like, is this okay parenting? And where that line is a lot of different places. I mean, there are people that, like, not taking your kid to church is something where
Don't try it in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, right. I mean, but you know, the way you feed your kids, the way you teach your kids, that the court's giving a good goddamn what you name your kids just feels like way up the food chain in terms of things to worry about. But it's budgetary too. You can't take every kid whose parents want to teach that the earth is flat. Can't take them all away and put them in camps. But you can say, you can't name your kid Tallulah Does the Hula.
I think there's two levels here where at one point you might get by a registration office, and it's only later in the case of a kid trying to get emancipated, a kid trying to change their name against their parents' wishes, or a custody battle, you know, in the case of some alienation between the parents. That's when you get the judge stepping in. And it makes it seem like the nation swooped in and sent in social workers to be like, how dare you name that baby Sex Fruit?
Yeah.
But what actually happened was the parents couldn't agree, or the parent and the child couldn't agree on whether they wanted to be named Sex Fruit, and someone had to cast a deciding vote, and it turned out to be Judge whatever of Her Majesty's court system.
I came upon my daughter playing with some dolls the other day, and she now that she's 12 and a half would be horrified that I outed her as playing with dolls.
No, it's okay. Childhood can last forever.
But she was talking to the dolls, and one of them was named Imogen and one was named Aubergine.
Does she know this origin story?
Enough. Yeah, but you know, it's hard. You've told your kids things over the course of their lifetime. Who knows what they remember or how they remember it, but she's got dolls named her middle names now, you know, her potential first names. And I was like, all right, they live on.
That's what you should do. Parents should give their kid
a doll named Dickhead.
No, they should give their kid a normal name and then say, and here are your cool ego names that we as cool hipsters almost gave you, and we'll use those on these dolls and pets.
Yeah, right. Hey, scrotum, scrotum, come here, scrotum.
Here, RoboCop. Good boy.
And that concludes Legal Baby Names, entry 710.LK0160, certificate number 26934 in the omnibus. Futurelings, social media is a massive trash fire. I encourage you to get off of it entirely and live small lives, small local lives. With the exception of listening to podcasts, which can and should be your only connection to the outside world, you can, however, if you still have computers, go on Facebook and Instagram, find at Omnibus Project, at Ken Jennings, at John Roderick. See, you know, look at the date of the last miserable time any of us posted. But you can hang out with other futurelings and other friends in maybe the safest and most wonderful space on the internet, the Futurelings Facebook group and other Futurelings groups. You know, I accidentally followed something to the Facebook or to the Reddit for Omnibus, and once again saw one cranky person on there that is listening to the show for God knows why. But I thought about this the other day, Ken. I should not say, if you hate something about us, why are you listening to the show? Because it should be normal to consume media or have friends that you don't necessarily agree with. You should be able to have a good friend that you totally disagree with on some topics, but still.
And you, and what relationship are you talking about here? The listener disagreeing with us?
Yeah, the listener, like, who's
like, we like our show and
once
and they
again
do not?
Ken is full of baloney and John is so blah blah blah. And I'm like, why are you listening to the show? Oh, because that's fine. You should and can.
I guess.
Not
it,
like
it,
us.
It normalizes not being a purist about, ideological purist about your friends.
Yeah, I don't think you should make your friends pass some weird litmus test where you all like the same movie.
Because you only spend an hour a week with us.
Right.
You know, it's not like trying to get your mom not to vote for Trump. You know, like, you can have an hour a week with somebody who has a bad take on baby names.
Yeah, and I don't even think you necessarily are hate listening. You're just on the internet talking about what a, you know, how annoying some trait that one or another of us have, but you still are able to enjoy the show. Anyway, you can email us and tell us that, oh no, I really like you guys. It's just that.
With the following exceptions.
Yeah, here's like 9 things I don't like about you, which is a great movie that none of my friends like. But you can email us at theomnibusproject@gmail.com. And you can actually send us loving mail and packages to P.O. Box 55744, Shoreline, Washington 98155. You got mail over there today?
I do. Tom was inspired by the recent entry on babies being raised by wolves to send us a product, I guess, that he is responsible for.
His own birth certificate signed by wolves.
He says he can guarantee that these stickers are on guitar cases all over Hell's Half Acre. They are compatible with Marxism. I feel like we haven't really been saying what's compatible with Marxism or not lately.
Oh, that's true.
Whatever happened to that? Well, clearly, Sweden not naming babies Muhammad is not compatible with Marxism. Anyway, Tom sent us these stickers that say...
From Wyoming?
HNW, raised by hippies, not wolves.
HNW.
Hippies, not wolves.
Oh, hippies, not wolves. Oh, okay. Sure.
So instead of being raised in the wilderness by wolves and therefore not knowing how to behave, it would be the same except your hippie parents.
Got it. Well, neither of us were named or were raised by hippies or wolves.
No, we were not. Our parents hated hippies and wolves with equal measure of fervor. Jonah sent us a postcard from the world of Coca-Cola in Atlanta. And why? Thought this conveyance of Coke could be Omnibus adjacent. Oh, it's a picture of a Coke truck.
Oh, Coke truck.
That's very cool. He also went to the Delta Museum of Flight. If you have a long layover in Atlanta, he recommends the Delta one over the Coca-Cola Museum, which he says is basically a big advertisement.
For Delta Airlines?
Well, no, he says the Coke plant should pay you to go there. With all the with all the product placement.
Well, you know, the Heineken Brewery is a big stop in Amsterdam because they give you beer, but I don't think you want to go to the Coke plant and drink like 7.
Yeah, what are they giving you?
Drinks
like
of beer.
Here's some discontinued raspberry flavored Coke that's only in Labrador and Newfoundland now.
Yeah, the original new formula of Coke that no one can get anymore.
This is very confusing. A humble drone. I don't know where the envelope.
A humble drone? That's an oxymoron.
We don't know who they are because they didn't put their name, but they all paid for postage all the way from London just to say...
Screw off!
Just to say they work in the post office and they love that we accept actual letters.
Oh.
Do you think this humble drone... best a humble drone. Do you think this drone gets...
let me see that letter.
Do you think this drone gets paid or gets free or discounted postage stamps because they work for the post office?
Dust this for fingerprints. Wait a minute. This has been typed on a laser printer. Hey, guys. Hi. Love the show. Listening for about 6 months. Oh, I should be doing this in a British accent.
Yeah, upper class.
This is probably the saddest letter you'll get this week. No, that's a terrible British accent. Sometimes I can do it. This is probably the saddest letter you get this week, but as someone who works for the post office over here, I love that you still accept actual letters. So that, but the English postal system, I still think of as like really one of the ones that is still thriving, but this is very depressing.
He seems a little bit down on this.
Well, we don't even know if it's a he.
They seem a little down on the future of Her Majesty's, post office.
A humble drone. It's not Her Majesty anymore. It's His Majesty's Postal Service.
Oh, you know King Charles's pronouns?
Maybe. Oh, well, I think so.
Their Majesty.
I believe he's going by he currently.
He, him. He, that's what he always says.
He, him.
King Charles III, he, him.
Hello. He, him.
Alexander wrote us a letter to ask how we come up with our topics. Do we have a pre-existing list we composed together eons ago that we are working our way down? Do you just do mushrooms together and share an epiphany?
We've never done mushrooms together. Only one of us has done mushrooms.
This is not a good week for that. Did you see the thing about the guy in the jump seat on Alaska Airlines?
Yeah, where he blamed his attempt to shut the engines down by the fact that he was on mushrooms.
He had just taken
on psychedelic mushrooms, or that he had had mushrooms in his dinner and they weirdly affected it.
No, I think he was saying he had just been he's been having a rough bout of depression and just tried. Mega dosing on mushrooms for the first time.
Mega or micro?
Mega. The opposite of micro. I think he had taken a lot of mushrooms for someone who had never tried them before.
Let me tell you not to do that.
Well, he almost killed 127 people.
I thought it was 83 people.
He almost killed 83 people. I'm saying there would have been 44 on the ground being like, is that an Alaska Airlines Horizon co-chair?
I find that weird. I do not think on mushrooms that being in the control area, the jump seat of a jet, would be cool at all.
You think? Do you believe it's plausible that somebody who had never tried mushrooms before could actually have the kind of breakdown that would lead to?
And then get on an airplane and be like, I'm a pilot.
I'm going to shut. Well, he is a pilot.
And go sit in the front.
He was a pilot.
Well, I know, but like,
but. But, like, do you think you would, in your experience with psilocybin, would it make you want to shut down all the engines on a Horizon Airlines flight between Everett and SFO?
Since we're in the deep back half of the show where nobody listens, I'm going to tell you a brief story, which is that one time I was on a Western Airlines flight.
Wow.
And we were coming into Seattle, and there were two dudes who were going to meet me at the airport and drive me to the Tacoma Dome to see a Grateful Dead and Santana show at the Tacoma Dome. And I was on the plane with a bag of mushrooms. And when the pilot said, all right, everyone, you know, fasten your seatbelts, we're preparing for landing, I, sitting in my chair next to some unsuspecting snork, asked the stewardess for a glass of water and then gobbled down this eighth of mushrooms. And because I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to get off the plane and the mushrooms are going to come on. And then we're going to go to see the Grateful Dead, a band that I'm not especially devoted to. But like, this is going to be a whole.
You were not raised by hippies.
Because at this time I was eating mushrooms, you know, like with this kind of spirit. Like, I know I'm going to a wedding. Why not eat a bunch of mushrooms? And then I eat the mushrooms and then the pilot comes back on the intercom and goes, sorry, folks, the airport's really socked in, and we've been diverted to Portland. And he powers up the engines, and up we go. And I'm like, oh, no, 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 no.
Because now you've got another hour, hour and a half.
So in that hour and a half, I start to come on, and then all of a sudden I'm like, eyes wide open, tripping balls, through the landing of, you know, now a subsequent landing of a jet, which is a sensory rich experience.
And do you recommend this?
It, pretty great, actually. Woohoo! But then I'm in the Portland airport, really tripping, not where you want to be in an airport.
It's a depressing airport, too. Sorry, Portland.
And then I'm waiting for another flight to Seattle, which comes, and then I'm boarding a flight really, really bonkers.
Where you have to have a few interactions.
Just like, thank you.
Yeah, I'll go to my seat over here.
Welcome to the plane. What seat am I? And you look at your boarding pass, and it's just like, wow. And then getting on a plane, buckling up, taking off, flying for another hour, landing, you know, the whole time just like, completely, everyone looks like a lizard, like really.
What did we learn, John?
Woohoo! And get off and then go to a Grateful Dead concert.
What did we learn? Wait for the opener?
I'm saying don't take mushrooms on a flight, before a flight, anytime before you're in. What I'm saying is don't pre-funk with mushrooms because you never know if your pre-funk's going to get derailed. Wait until you're in the place.
That's what I'm saying. Wait for the opener. When the opener comes on.
Then you take the mushrooms. Be ready. Be safe. Be in a contained space. Have a pack of cigarettes and a jar of Tiger Balm.
But also maybe don't get in the trap of thinking that my life has gone wrong in some way. I think psychoactives are the way to go.
No, I believe I'm increasingly inclined to believe that psychedelic drugs may be a secret to depression, addiction, all these things, which I was suspicious of for a long time.
I think the data is pretty solid, actually. Yeah. But maybe not in a cockpit.
I was scoffing at it not very long ago, like, oh, my friend's microdosing and what a ding dong. And my sister said, didn't you get sober when you were on mushrooms? And I had to think about it for a second. I was like, oh, well, I did. I got sober on mushrooms. I decided I was not going to drink anymore or do any more drugs as soon as I came down from these mushrooms.
That's so funny because I was drunk when I decided not to do mushrooms anymore.
There you go. That's another thing that might happen. But so the realization that in fact it had happened to me and I had never considered it. In almost 30 years of sobriety, it had never occurred to me that maybe the mushrooms had some kind of effect.
But maybe the people working on their depression should choose a different outlet if they're going to be in a cockpit.
Well, and especially if you're a pilot, don't let anybody know you do mushrooms. That's one of those things the FAA is going to have something to say about.
Well, they only found out after he almost crashed the plane. Well, he didn't volunteer it.
But if you're on mushrooms, even if you're totally good, like I was on the plane, nobody knew I was on mushrooms, I don't think. But if you're talking to other pilots, and you're like, like, what are you going to say? You're not going to say normal things. You're going to say weird things.
Apparently he fooled them until he tried to shut off the engines.
Right, right. And I don't know. Would I forget that planes needed engines to fly? I don't think I would forget that.
Pilots are so good at being buttoned down that they can just do that pilot thing no matter what they've just ingested.
That's right.
I'd like to inform you that I've just taken way too many mushrooms.
I had the fish for dinner, and now, hopefully, you're over Macho Grande.
Let's see.
The only other thing I need to tell
you... Oh, sorry. Before I say that...
Oh, yeah.
Let me answer Alexander's question, which is, we don't do mushrooms, but we just do whatever. Like, we have a list of show ideas, but...
Oh, right.
Generally, it's just on the day, what is the last Wikipedia rabbit hole that I was interested in or thought might be interesting?
Yeah, let me tell you what's on the top of my list here. I've got Slap Kabaddi.
Don't know what that
I've
is.
Got Stuxnet. I've got the Population Bomb. I've got the Nakoma Pyramid. And I've got Paris in Spring. And I don't know if Paris in Spring, I have no idea what I...
You don't remember
when I put that on there?
You don't remember that at all.
What the hell topic is Paris in Spring? Listen to the show and find out.
I have a similar list on my phone. The Goodyear Blimp, Crash Blossoms, Thoreau's Raisin Bread, 9/11 editorial cartoons. Maybe we won't be doing that.
Why not?
They're all really, really cringe.
Oh, yeah.
Beowulf.
Beowulf. How about Jabberwocky? Who's going to put Jabberwocky on there first?
The thing about Beowulf is that basically we think of it as this core text, like Canterbury Tales or Shakespeare, and it was essentially unknown to anyone.
You're kidding.
Until the late 19th century.
Well, where did they discover Beowulf? Is this one of those things like Hitler's Diaries where it was written in 1895? And
they went into Al Capone's vault.
I mean, actually, Hitler's Diaries probably couldn't have been written in 1895.
Well, I mean, it would have been a lot shorter. It's like, someday.
Well, no, I don't. Was he even born in 1895?
He was not, no. Right? Well, hold on. How old was he in World War One?
He was only 40 something when he, or what? How old was Hitler when he died? I can't believe that I'm going to give Google this great gift of Googling Hitler's birthday. Imagine the ads I'm going to see now. 1889.
So
missed it by 4 years.
So he, yeah, it would have been very short. But in, you know, in 1899,
he'd be 10 years old.
Yeah.
1899. How old was my? I think my grandmother is older than Hitler.
Total diss. Your grandmother's older than Hitler. That's a sick burn.
Woo! If you love this after-show banter,
why is it still going?
You should go to patreon.com/omnibusproject and give a little bit of money. You know, I'll be 29 years sober this December.
Congratulations.
And I wouldn't have been able to do that without your generous contribution for the last 30 years to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/omnibusproject.
Are you implying that if they don't give a certain amount,
I might,
you're just like going to go on a bender just to
New
mess
Year's
with
Eve.
Them?
Duke.
Man, brutal. Listeners, from our vantage point in your distant past, we have no idea how long our civilization survived. We hope and pray that the catastrophe we fear may never come. The worst comes soon. This recording, like all our recordings, may well be our final word. But we pray that Providence will allow us to be back with you soon for another entry in the Omnibus.